How do you want a judge that doesn't understand the way of life today to judge us today? Moshe Rabbeinu will come here. He cannot even deal with the problems of today because in his lifetime didn't exist. Cars, planes, phones, all those things. Nevertheless, our level spiritually is not the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. So this is another point that we have to think about. This is why the Torah is telling us the judge that is going to be in your days, in our days. In other words, it doesn't have to be Moshe Rabbeinu. It has to be suitable for us. It's like when you wear shoes. If they are too big, you cannot walk. If they are too small, you cannot even put them on you. And you need suitable shoes. The same way is with the judge that has to be... By the way, when we go up to heaven, the one who are going to judge us are also the judges from our generation, not from a different generation, because otherwise it's not fair. It's only if you want to play a fair game, it has to be a fair game. You cannot put like this guy, you know, he had this competition, wrestling competition, international. And the world, the champion came there for the exhibition, and somebody did a mistake and put in front of him a guy, like he was heavyweight, lightweight, somebody who only started his life in on the arena, which is if we call it. And it took 1 minute, and this guy was on the floor, half dead. And he was, this champion was raising his hands and waiting for people to glow to him and to, but everybody started throwing things on him, because this is not a fair fight. And you know, you saw in front of you, this is only a kid, a third of your weight. So you could understand the riddle. There is a mistake here. It's not a fair fight. But with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's always a fair fight. That's why the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, a judge that is going to be in our days.
I just put you on to, this is a very good joke about lawyers. Heaven and hell after ever fighting. So they decide to build their wall between heaven and hell. Another fight erupts. Should the wall be built on the territory of heaven or on the territory of hell? So they make a very big tribunal with all the angels, and what came out? Hell won because they had the better judges.
Yeah. And the better lawyers.
I mean, the better lawyers. I mean,
yes,
just
exactly. So when we talk about shoftim v'shotrim, titen lecha bechol shoarecha, we talk about judges that are understanding the way of life we live. And now there is another point. The Torah says, lo yasur min hadavar asher yomru lecha yamin u'smol. You shouldn't go right or left against their order. They'll tell you right, you go right. They take you left, you take left. And even, says Rashi, if they take you on right, left, and on left, right, you still do what they tell you to do. And a sample for this to understand it, why? It's not because the judge wants you to do something wrong, because the judge sees things you don't see. For example, if you know that there are roads that you go, Kvish Makabim, for example, is a road that goes from Rosh Ha'ain, let's say, to Gea Road. And when you want now, when you get there, it's near Bar Ilan University. If you want to go right, you have to go left. And if you want to go left, you have to go right. So you can be clever. You come there and says, what do you mean? I want to right, so I go right. But then you get left. If you want to go right, you have to go left. And that's exactly the idea. The judges of our days, our doylim of today, they know what is the right and what is the wrong right. And if they tell us on what looks to us right, go left, we should go left. Because they know where the way leads. And this is a very important point. So we're talking about shoftim v'shotrim, titen lecha bechol she'arecha. Another beautiful explanation brings the Netivot Shalom, the Admor Misloni. And he writes, the gates that we're talking about here are the gates of the year, or the gate of time. In other words, when you're born, this is a gate that you go, the neshama comes down to earth and starts her life. That's the gate to life on this world. Then, when you have bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah, that's a gate to become an adult in the Jewish community. And you're obliged and you have to do all the mitzvahs. Then, of course, is one of the most important gates, the chuppah, the gate of marriage. And this is, all those gates are really things that we have to stop for a minute before we go into gate and think how to go. We want to go with the right foot. It's to say, like, we have guards on gates to the mall or to other places and to check if you don't bring in something wrong. The same way, we have to check ourselves. Because the shotrim and shotrim titen lecha, we give it to us. Because the idea of those shoftim and shotrim is also the gates of the body. The gates of the body is the eyes, the ear, the nose, the mouth. What do we see? What do we speak? What do we smell? What do we hear? And we have to keep those gates. Especially when we go into the gate of the new year, which is also one of the gates. One of the important gates. This is the beginning of the new year. Chodesh Elul is the gate to Rosh Hashanah. And in this gate, we don't wait for somebody else to check us. Shoftim v'shotrim titen lecha. You put on yourself, the judge and the policeman, to check. How do I go into the new year? Let me check on myself and take out all the sins, all the things I don't need to go clean in. And this way, I can open the year with my right foot. So, a beautiful explanation about the gates. Somebody sent me on WhatsApp, a very interesting story that puts those things in a proportion. It's a nice story. The story is like this. This guy is going on a way. He's getting tired. He lost his way. And then he finds an apple tree. He's very hungry, so he eats one apple, two apples, three apples. Then he falls asleep. When he wakes up, he realizes that he ate apple from a private home. And he was a tzaddik, and he didn't want to have gesel. This is stealing. So he went into the house, knocked at the door, went into the house, and he finds, "Are you the owner?" He says, "Yes." He says, "I sinned. I ate from your apples. I want you to forgive me." "Forgive you? You know what? You want me to forgive you? I want you to marry my sister." He says, "Yes, you know what? I'm not married and I'm really looking for a shidduch." "Okay. If you are going to forgive me," it's about a tzaddik, "you want to be forgiven. I'm going to marry your sister." He says, "But I have to tell you something." She doesn't hear. She says, "What?" "She doesn't hear." "Okay. You know what? You're going to forgive me? I'm taking her." "Say, one minute. I've got another brother." "Okay, go to another brother, and he says, "I did this and this. I want you to forgive me." "So, okay, marry my sister." "Okay, I already agreed to him." No, I want to tell you something." "Oh, he told me. She doesn't hear." She also doesn't speak. And this way he goes to one brother, another brother, every brother adds another thing. So he doesn't speak, she doesn't walk, she doesn't see, she doesn't hear. He says, "What am I going to do?" But he agrees to all because he wants to be forgiven. He's a tzaddik. He says, "Well, this is for everything from God." Okay, they have the wedding. He says, "I'm asking you one thing. On the wedding, cover the color." You know, he doesn't see, doesn't hear, doesn't do, doesn't. Who knows how she looks? Maybe I'll see her and I regret and I won't marry her. So they cover the color. Afterwards, they go home. All the brothers sitting. He says, "Maybe you ask our sister, your wife, to bring us some tea." So he says, "Surale, bring tea to your brother, your guest." Comes in, this beautiful wife walks, sees, says, "Who are you?" "So I'm your wife." He says, "What? Did you lie to me? You said she doesn't see, she doesn't hear, she doesn't walk, she's doing all this. You're beautiful." He says, "You see, our sister is a tzaddikah. And we want her to marry a tzaddik. She doesn't see what she doesn't have to see. She doesn't speak what she doesn't have to speak. She doesn't walk where she shouldn't walk. And that's exactly the idea. Those are the gates of the body. What do we do? Where do we look? How do we speak?" And I saw today a beautiful thing. The Baal Shem Tov says, it's not only me, it's also the others. How do I look at others? look with a good eye. How do I speak on others? Speak with a good mouth. With a good mouth. How do I listen to others? If I do this, God promises me, you are mine. If you give me your heart and your eyes, you are mine. And this is the beautiful thing. What is the eyes and the heart? This is what we do, what we see, and where do we, what do we want to do. And if we do all those things for others, for God, so God says, you are mine. And this is the best way to go into the gate of the new year. Shoftim veshotrim titen lecha bechol she'arecha. There are a lot of other things in the parsha, but as we said, you wanted to try and have also a little discussion about things. So if you have questions, want to discuss some issue, if I can help, bevakasha. If not, you're going to help each other.
I'm wondering who and how are the judges appointed?
You see, this is also a very interesting point, because today it's all, not only the judges, we have also in our parasha the king. And the king is being chosen by God. And the idea is, what's the meaning by God? God is going to come down and tell us this is the... That? No, he's got his prophets. So it depends what time we're talking about. But the judges, well, as we remember, Yithro came to Moshe Rabbeinu years ago, and he told him, you should have judges with you that should have those certain qualities. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu did. In other words, it was not... they were not chosen by... let's say, only knowing things, knowledge. Like today, somebody wants to be a rabbi, it's no problem. You go to Echal Shlomo, you go through the... No, in old times, you needed to have be, let's say, for, let's say, I think, 5 years in a yeshiva, and only then you can even think about being a rabbi. Today, you don't have to be in a yeshiva. You can just go and do the tests in Echal Shlomo, the Rabbanut, and you become a rabbi. Now, I heard unbelievable stories. You know, my son told me in his yeshiva, his rabbi once told him that while they were doing the test for the smicha in Chal Shlomo, one of the guys there went into the toilet with the Rambam in order to copy the answers and then came back to the test. So I ask you, is this a figure of a rab? No. So in other words, a test or a smicha, it's not the outside, it's what's the inside. In other words, you can have a degree. I am a rabbi. But it's not a degree in university. You know, it's not a professor of psychology, it's not a professor to science, and it's a rabbi. And a rabbi should have the qualities of a rabbi. It's not always the knowledge, it's more what you've got inside, how you're going to act, to react. And if you want to know, somebody, let's say a Christian, can disguise himself to a Jew, go to a Chal Shlomo, do the test, and he is a rabbi. But he's not even Jewish. But if it's a title, so everybody's got the title, he's a rabbi. And that's exactly that. That's not what we talk. Shoftim v'shotrim titen lecha. Also, those who nominate the judge, what is the Torah telling him? Lecha. Because, you know, I nominate the judge. So, you know, if I have a problem, you fix it. So the Torah tells him, Shoftim v'shotrim titen lecha. First of all, who is going to be, who are they going to control? You. They are going to judge you. And we have to expect that they are going to judge tzedek, justice. That's the idea of Shoftim v'shotrim titen lecha. So judges were nominated by maybe the sages or on certain... test that they do, I don't know, but they were nominated to be judges according to the halacha. And first thing that is we are being told that they are going to be judges to, for example, the same thing is every day we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, which is Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shamayim. We crowning the king on the whole world, says the Rebbe Mekotz. Before you crown the king on the whole world, crown him on yourself. And that's sometimes we forget. Yes, you God, you are the God of all universe, of all people. 1 minute. What does it mean? What do you do with it? How do you behave? How do you act? Did you crown him on yourself? That's the way it starts. And that's the same thing with the Shoftim and Shotrim. Okay? Yes.
transfer it to current day, to now?
To now, I must say that there is a big difference. First of all, if you take in consideration the amount of judges, because it's written there, we had sarei meot, sarei alafim, sarei asarot. Every 10 people had somebody in charge. Today, if you, I don't know how how many judges there are, but I remember once I wrote about it. I think there, it's like a very few. You wouldn't even believe the numbers. I haven't got it here, so I cannot say. But there are quite few, not a lot of judges in Israel. And if you imagine to yourself, all those people going to court and with those few judges, as we all know, we know what's happening. Some cases go for years. And that's what, logically, it's wrong. You should have more judges and you should finish cases on the spot and not dragging them for years. They're the Sanhedrin. They were the Sanhedrin. That's the high court. That's the high court. If you have the problem in the local court, couldn't judge. Like today, you have a local court, you have a area court, and then you have the high court. No. Bezrat Hashem and the Mashiach will come, we'll have it again. But right now, we haven't got them. They had to have very special qualities. They had to know all the languages. But also, when we're talking about judge, one of the things that the judge has to do, if, when people come in front of him, he had to take himself out of the way they look. So they used to, if somebody was looking rich, he had to go out and dress the same as the other one in order to be equal. There was a lot of laws in order to make the judge see the things and without thinking this one is right, this one is wrong. And there is always a problem because let's say you have this clever guy. And then you have this, unfortunately, stupid guy. And the clever guy is also Talmid Chacham, how we know, so of course the judge is going to love him. So he's going to call, his heart is going to lead him there. That's why the Torah is telling us, you have to be very careful. You have to, the first judge is, you judge yourself. So when you, especially when you judge others, judge yourself, am I doing the right judgment? Or maybe I'm thinking because this one looks good, or this one is rich and this one is poor, I'm, let's say, influenced by it. So you have to take yourself out of it and not be influenced by it. Which is, of course, it's not easy. But that's a whole different way of what's happening today. So today there is nothing to compare what we have today. It's nothing to compare what to used to be.
You know, there was an old judge and the man helped him to cross the river. And when they crossed the river, he said to the judge, I need a judge for a court case. They said, I cannot be your judge because you helped me cross the river, and that's bribery.
Yeah, there is a famous story in the Gemara about a rabbi who he had somebody in his field working for him. Like, you know, they used to do like this, they call it aris in Hebrew. I don't know how you call it in English. So you used to get the field from the owner, and you used to work on the field. And a part of what was coming out of the field, you had to give to the owner, and all the rest was yours. So this rabbi had fields, and he had somebody who was working the fields, and he came to him and gave him his share, which belongs to him. And he had a court case, and he wanted his owner, who was also a judge, to judge him. He says, I'm sorry, I cannot judge you, because I'm going to think in favor of you. And he was talking with him and telling him what to say and how to say, and then he found himself walking backwards and forwards in front of the court, and imagined himself in the mind, like thinking what should he say and what would the judge say and what thing, and he was waiting for him to come and tell him if he was successful or not. And he was thinking, wow, he gave me what he owns me, this is not bribery, it's mine. And all the time I'm thinking in his favor. So to understand the power of bribery, when they say, "Ashochad yaver enei chachamim ve'yisalef divrei tzadikim," in other words, bribery is going to influence who? The tzadikim. And we ask ourselves, 1 minute, why tzadikim? What's with a normal person? It's not going to blind him. What do you think? So why is the Torah telling us about a tzadik? What do you think is the reason? Why is the Torah said, Ashochad yaver enei tzadikim ve'yisalef divrei chachamim?
To demonstrate what the limitations are of a human being.
Yes, but there is a very important point here. A tzaddik is got what you said, he is very grateful. This is one of the virtues of a tzaddik. If somebody does you a favor, you have to pay him back. You feel obligated to him. So imagine to yourself a tzaddik as a judge, and this guy gives him bribery. Now, even if he wants to be a good judge, he wants to give back the favor, because his qualities, his virtues are a part of his being. So if somebody gives him something, he feels much obliged than all the others. We all know that sometimes Jews, through history, gave bribery to judges, and with all the bribery, they still got guilty. So, in other words, they didn't care about the bribery. They just wanted the bribery, and they took it and had the power to do wrong, they did wrong. In a lot of cases, they did right, but because they wanted maybe more money or thing. But a tzaddik is going to be influenced on the spot. That's what the Torah is telling us. Ashochad ya'aver enei chachamim v'yisalev divrei tzaddikim. Dafka. Those tzaddikim that have these virtues, that they feel obligated to somebody who does something good for them. So, he said, we say Asir Toda. What is Asir Toda? If I want to translate Asir Toda to English, what is a Asir?
Prisoner.
A prisoner. A prisoner of thanks. Very strange phrase. But that's what we say, Asir Toda. Because the minute you owe somebody something, you feel a prisoner. His prisoner. We don't like to feel that we owe somebody now something. That's, by the way, the reason the neshama came to this world. Because the neshama was sitting up in heaven, getting everything for free, and the neshama said to God, one minute, I don't want a free gift. I feel ashamed. I want to do something for it. And that's why the neshama got here. So that's why we call somebody who owes somebody a favor, asir toda. See, every word in Hebrew's got a meaning. It's unbelievable sometimes. So that's an explanation of asir toda. Okay. Anybody else? Okay. We had a very nice shiur. It was very nice. It was a little shorter, but yes, sorry.
No, don't close it.
Oh, okay.
I tell you why.
And
I have
yes.
My bookmark here.
Ah, okay. The thing is that now we're in Chodesh Elul. And Chodesh Elul is really a new start. That we say those are the gates of the new beginning. And we can change everything. It doesn't matter what we did yesterday and what we did through the whole year. We must remember that now we have a period of time that God is with us and is more willing to forgive, is more willing to love us. He's really, really very the closest. There is no closest time than this time. So we should use this gate wisely and do whatever we can in order to show God our love. And as I told you before, one of the best ways to deal with it is to show to God that our love and eyes go to help others. We look at people in good eye. We speak about them good. We look to find the good in people, not the bad. And in this case, God is measuring us the same way. So if we look good at people, if we forgive, if we talk nicely, what is God going to do? The same thing. And this week is the best way to go in the new year. So we should have a good Rosh Chodesh and Bezrat Hashem, a good entrance to the new year. Amen.